Welcome to today's teaching. This is Dr. Ruth. Praise the Lord. Jesus is King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So today we are continuing with my verse by verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we are continuing here in Luke chapter 7. If you are new to this podcast, welcome, and please take some time and listen to the previous sessions out of the Gospel of Luke, and even listen to the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, and listen to some of my Old Testament teachings here. That way you can get a deeper and a fuller contextual understanding of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So today we are in Luke chapter 7, another very lengthy chapter, so I will do a few sessions here. But the gist of these upcoming verses out of Luke 7 is that we are going to learn about true Bible faith, exemplified by the faith of the centurion. And before I even continue, you may be wondering, who was the centurion? At least back then, during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, a centurion was like a high-ranking Roman army officer who would typically have about 100 other soldiers beneath his care, or he would be supervising about 100 other soldiers. So essentially, he was the boss and he had some authority. Okay, so keep in mind this man that the Lord Jesus would praise, his faith was a Gentile, not even a Jew. So there is a lot we are about to learn here. And before I even continue, I want to say I am not going to do a lot of teaching on true Bible faith. I have done a lot of that. And I want to say I have a book that I highly recommend you get. If you have been listening to me for some time, I've talked about this book. It's titled Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. It is a book I wrote during when I was fighting metastasis colon cancer, as the Holy Spirit revealed to me what true Bible faith is. And as I got into the Word of God, I was able to discern 14 biblical laws that govern true Bible faith, and these laws would quicken and strengthen your faith and enable you to grow in faith. These are laws such as getting a deeper revelation of the love of God for you, your faith would increase, the faithfulness of God, etc., etc. So I really recommend you get this book. You can get it from us directly. If you live in the continental USA, it comes to us as a donation of $20. If you live overseas, please get it on Amazon. And to get this book, visit our safe and secure website, drruthtani.org/donate, and get a copy right there. And I will add the links in the description box by the end of this session. So let us get into this teaching right away, and I really recommend that you listen to the entire teaching so you are truly blessed. Okay, so we get into this Luke 7:1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, now all this, if you had listened to the previous sessions, the Lord Jesus had completed his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. Now the Lord Jesus is about to enter Capernaum and this interaction with the centurion would take place. So I really recommend you go back and listen to the previous session so you can approach this chapter in context. Okay, so just to reread that, he, referring to the Lord Jesus, entered Capernaum. Verse 2, there a centurion's servant whom his master value highly was sick and about to die. So we are already learning that it was actually the centurion's servant who was really ill. Okay, we continue here. We are now in verse 3. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. Now, let me pause here. Before I even continue, I want to harmonize what Matthew told us out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 5, and what Luke is telling us here. If you have listened to my teaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, or if you were to go there, Matthew 8, 5, Matthew wrote that this centurion himself came to Jesus. Now, we are learning here that the centurion sent some of the elders of the Jews. Which one is correct? They are both correct. Let me explain this and harmonize this for you. You have to put the cultural setting in perspective. Back then in this culture, when someone like the centurion of high caliber position sent someone to go deliver a message, in that culture, it was considered the equivalent of the centurion himself. In other words, by the centurion relaying a message to Jesus through the Jews, in that culture, it was just as if the centurion himself was talking to Jesus directly. That is really what is happening here. So there is no confusion. There is no wrong. They are both correct. Again, putting the culture in perspective here. So now, according to Luke's gospel, the centurion had sent this message to Jesus. Let's pick it up here. We are now in verse 4. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogues. Let me pause. Now, before we even proceed to verse 6, a couple of things are happening here. We are already getting a sense of this centurion's faith in Jesus Christ. If you recall, if we go back to verse 3, the centurion heard of Jesus. So he had heard about the miraculous works of Jesus Christ. He had heard about the ministry of Jesus Christ. As a result of that, his faith was quickened. He believed that the Lord Jesus would perform this miracle to heal his servant. Friend, isn't this exactly what the Bible teaches us out of specifically Romans 10:17? That faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So as this man had listened to the Lord Jesus, his faith was already quickened. And we are about to find out how he would complete his faith, how he would act accordingly. Before we even continue right away, let me just say this. True Bible faith is number one, believing in the word of God. And how do you believe? You believe by studying, you believe by hearing. And then you must act accordingly for your faith to be completed, because the Bible teaches us clearly faith without corresponding action is what? Dead. So we are about to find out how this man would really acted his faith. In fact, by virtue of this centurion sending the message to Jesus through the Jews, he was already acting in faith. Are you getting the picture here? Because if we believe in God's promises, we have to take some kind of corresponding action. So as the Lord Jesus is about to teach us, because this man believed in the Lord Jesus, he was acting accordingly by sending the Jews to Jesus. Let us find out how the Lord Jesus would honor his faith. Verse 6, so Jesus went with them. Now, the Jews had told Jesus that this centurion is worthy for the Lord Jesus to help. Let me talk about this. God is no respecter of persons. What do I mean by that? God honors true Bible faith. The Lord Jesus didn't agree to go to this centurion servant's house or to help this centurion servant because of what the Jews were telling Jesus, that this man built the synagogue, this man is worthy. No, God doesn't look at things like that. The Lord Jesus had already perceived this centurion's faith. It was a centurion's faith that the Lord Jesus was about to honor, not what the Jews were telling him that this man had built all the synagogue, okay? And we will learn that as we proceed here, how the Lord Jesus himself would say it, that him, referring to the centurion, had great faith. So I needed to clarify that, because God is no respecter of persons. God would honor our faith regardless of our works. God doesn't treat us based on our works anyway. It's believing in his promises by faith and acting accordingly and trusting his grace. Okay? Okay, so now the Lord Jesus went with them, about to go help the centurion's servant. We pick up the story here. He was not far from the house, meaning the Lord Jesus was not far from the centurion's house, when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Now, the centurion is like, God, Jesus, don't even bother to come to my house. I just believe in you. I don't want to speak ahead of myself. Let's just go through this story here. Just rereading the last part of that verse there, the centurion had said, "I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Verse 7, "That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed." Exactly. This centurion, this Roman Gentile soldier, had so much faith in Jesus Christ, had heard about Jesus Christ, believed in Jesus Christ, in his miracles, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that the centurion is like, "Lord, don't even come to my house. I believe your word. Just speak the word, no matter where you are, and my servant shall be healed." Friend, this is amazing faith. And if you are not aware, at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came for the Jewish nation. Okay, it was later on that the Gentiles, i.e. non-Jews, got into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, as we are taught out of the book of Acts. But the point here is, the Lord Jesus was already expressing his compassion towards the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. He was already expressing that God is no respecter of persons. God is for the Jews, the Gentile, and the Greek, if we can only believe. This centurion said, "Just speak a word, friend. I'm talking to you today. Do you believe in the word of God just as this centurion believed?" There were many Jews following the Lord Jesus. They did not even have the faith of this centurion. This man said, "Just speak the word." Today, we know we are looking at these things after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know today that the Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of God. Jesus Christ is the word of God. So when we are studying and meditating on the Holy Scriptures, we know we are fellowshipping with God. We know that we are taking the word of God and planting it in our heart. We can trust the word of God 100%. Do you believe in the word of God? I'm asking you. Do you believe that God's promises can manifest in your life? Do you believe that the word of God is enough to deliver you from whatever you're dealing with today? Friend, it is. The word of God is 100% God. The word of God is sufficient to enable you to overcome whatever challenges you are facing today. But your job is to spend time in God's presence, study his word, meditate on his scriptures, and allow the word of God to take root in your heart. Okay, so let's continue with this story. I just love it how we are learning the power in the word of God. We are now in verse 8. "For I myself," this centurion is about to explain why he believed that the Lord Jesus should just speak the word and not even bother to come under his roof. The centurion continued in verse 8. "For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this." Just as I explained at the very beginning, this centurion was a man of authority, and he had other soldiers beneath him. So he was supervising at least 100 soldiers. So he is just explaining to Jesus that, Jesus, I understand that you are a man of authority and power, just like I am a man of authority. Just speak the word. I will receive that. This is amazing. So after he had explained all this to Jesus, let us find out the Lord Jesus' response in verse 9. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And returning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Exactly. The Lord Jesus honored this man's faith. The Lord Jesus was like, all of you following me, you Jews, this man who is a non-Jew, a Gentile, has expressed more faith in me than all of you. Friend, today, do you believe in the word of God? If you've heard my testimony before that I received healing from metastasis colon cancer over 15 years ago, no one laid hands on me. I just received it directly from the word of God as I was able to renew my mind and I was able to stand on God's promises and I was steadfast. And if you've been listening to me for some time, I've talked about my testimonial book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, which I will also attach in the description box. So I am not just saying that the word of God works 100% as some preacher. I have lived this out and I continue to live this out. And I have seen the word of God work in my life 100%, and it continues to work in my life because God is his word. His word is him. You cannot separate. We are told this in many scriptures, specifically the Gospel of John 1, 1 through 14. So whatever you are desiring from God today, you don't need to wait to go to church. You do not need to wait to call someone to pray for you. There is nothing wrong with those activities. But what I am saying is that you have God's promises in your hands. You can get into God's word, find a promise and stand on that and trust God. And it will happen if you do not give up. It is a promise of God and it is true for all those who believe. Okay? So the Lord Jesus now had spoke highly of this centurion's faith. Let's find out how this continued. Verse 10. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So the Lord Jesus just honored that man's faith and and that servant just received healing. This is awesome, friend. I just love how we are so blessed that we can just call upon God through his word and he is there to help us. Okay, the next upcoming verses, we'll talk about how the Lord Jesus would raise a widow's son from the dead. Of course, Jesus is a resurrector, however way you want to say it. He is our resurrection, okay? He is life. So we continue here in verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. Verse 13. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. You know, back then in that culture, being a widow was almost like a state of potential poverty. Mm-hmm. Because women back then essentially had no rights. Women, for the most part, could not work outside the home. So a woman had to depend on her husband for her livelihood. So when the husband dies, she runs a chance of poverty and being taken advantage of by others. So this woman was going through a lot, and now her other son, her son that hopefully she was looking forward to being raised to help her, now this son is dead. And the Lord Jesus, God of compassion, was about to intervene here. Let's see what happens. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Exactly. The Lord Jesus, understanding the culture, understanding what being a widow meant back then in that culture, understanding that her only son that had the potential to grow up and help the mother, also dead, God could not go past that sin. God had to intervene. Friend, we serve a God of compassion. Whatever you're going through today, God is compassionate towards you. God understands. God is there. But this is so comforting. Verse 14. Then, this is the Lord Jesus now. Then he went up and touched the bier. They were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. This was also a taboo. You were not allowed to touch the coffin of a dead man, but we see the Lord Jesus now doing that. We see the Lord Jesus now really going against the establishment. Oh, I just love it. The Lord Jesus said, young man, I said to you, get up. The Lord Jesus just spoke a word to the dead man. And in verse 15, the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Can you imagine that picture right there? That would make a wonderful, encouraging movie. Just the love of God, the compassion of God, Jesus' life. He could not accept that. God is compassionate. He just raised that son from the dead and just gave it back to the widow. Met her needs right there and then. An ever-present God in times of crisis. God is still the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Whatever you're going through, God sees that. God understands. Call upon him. He is there to meet your specific need. God knows what you need at a specific moment. Call upon him to help you. You may not have lost a family member. You may not have lost a child or a husband. I don't know. Maybe. But something else may be just bothering you. Something else may be causing you so much grief. God is a God of comfort and compassion. Call upon him to help you. He is a helper. He is our helper, rather, okay? So we get into verse 16. After the Lord Jesus had raised his son from the dead, they were all filled with awe. And praise God, the crowd were just filled with awe, which was like a reverential awe, just worship and reverence of God, and they worship and they praise God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. So true. Verse 17. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Glory to God. God is love. God is compassionate. I am going to end this session here, and we will pick up next time in verse 18. But what is the major principle and application we've learned here? It is obvious. It's true Bible faith and the compassion of God. As I described earlier, true Bible faith is a process, friend. It's a process whereby faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God out of Romans 10:17. So if you want your faith to be strengthened, just the other day someone sent me a message and said, Dr. Ruth, could you pray for me so I can have faith? And I had to correct them. We don't pray for you to have faith. If you are a child of God, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have what is called saving faith in you. But that has to develop. It has to be strengthened. And even in your born-again spirit, fruit of the spirit, you do have faith. But you can quicken, strengthen your faith by spending time in the Word of God, studying it, meditating on the Word of God. And biblical meditation just means you take the Word of God, you think about it over and over and over. And this principle that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, as you hear the word of God, as you study the word of God, your faith would begin to be strengthened. Your faith would begin to grow. That is step number one. And you would start to have a firm belief in the promises and the things of God. And then obviously you would have to act, okay, in accordance with God's word, because faith without corresponding action is useless. We are told that in James 2:26 and many other scriptures. You have to act in accordance with your belief. As an example, if you are believing God for healing, it is not faith to act sick, stay in bed all day and just say, God, heal me. No. in a situation like that, true Bible faith would be somebody who says, you know what, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I'm believing God for healing. And then by faith, you attempt to get out of bed and engage in your day while trusting the power of the Holy Spirit to embolden you. And as you take one step, acting as somebody who is well, then the power of the Holy Spirit would enable and strengthen you to act. That would be true Bible faith, because if you believe it, you must act. Another classic example is finances. If you are struggling financially, you have no money, number one, the Bible says, give, it shall be given to you. Give into God's work. Give. You got to give. In the kingdom of God, the way we receive everything from God is by giving. Talking about finances, if you give whatever amount you condition in your heart, God will bless you back. And as you see that happening, your faith in God, your faith in giving would be strengthened. And then, I love this scripture, Deuteronomy 8:18. It is God who gives you the ability to generate wealth. Pray to God to strengthen you, to give you the stamina and the strength to look for job, to open doors for you, to bless you with divine opportunities so you can generate wealth. That would be acting in faith, and then you step out there, you start looking for a job, you trust God. Friend, true Bible faith is not difficult. You have to believe it, and then you act accordingly. So whatever you are believing God today, you begin today by finding a promise. You take that promise, you start meditating on that promise, and then you act and you trust God. You just keep trusting God, okay? So before I even wrap this up, I want to really encourage you to get my Bible teaching book on faith. Again, it is called Faith to Receive God's Promises, How to Walk in Biblical Faith and Allow the Blessings of God to Chase You. I discuss 14 laws that govern true Bible faith. Please visit our safe and secure website to get a copy today for a donation of $20. That address is drruthtani.org/donate. We are also on Cash App, which is $ Dr. Ruth Tani. And then if you live in the USA, you can Zelle in a donation of $20. That telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we will also add all of this in the description box for you to get a copy of $20. That includes shipping and handling. And by doing that, you would be supporting us with your donation, because whatever you send into this ministry come to us as a love gift donation, and we put it right back into this podcast to pay for studio time to produce these teachings. Or you can just bless us with a one-time donation as you've been blessed today. Just bless us with a donation. Whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart, please, would you obey and give? Check the description box and bless us with a donation so we can advance God's work. We thank you in advance for doing that. And let us just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word. You are your word. Your word is you. I lift up all the listeners today that their faith has been quickened. I pray that you are enabling them right now to take corresponding actions for their faith to be complete. I thank you, Father God, you're faithful God, you're compassionate God. You're meeting them at their place of unique needs. Thank you for revealing more of yourself to them today. We give you all the glory. We thank you. I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all those who believe and agree, say amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer so you can learn how you can bless us with your donation to advance God's work. We thank you in advance for your donation. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process? Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.